Welcome to autumnal worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The way of happiness and peace is to do good rather than evil, and all things to speak and act with integrity and with kindness. Reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in the court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 90. Let us read together Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, go back, O child of God, for a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, like a watch in the night. You keep us away like a dream. We fade away suddenly like the grass. In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered. For we consume away in your displeasure. We are afraid because of your wrathful indignation. Our iniquities are set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The author of Hebrews makes a bold assertion. Jesus surpasses even Moses, the liberator of Israel, in his glory. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful and all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of a greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord according to Mark.
Glory to you,
I'm reading from chapter 10, starting at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Now that for me is hard to believe, but that's what the young man says. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And just stopping there for a second, I love this verse where it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God. The concept is that in Old Jerusalem, there were entry points through the walls into the old city that were very low and very narrow, so that if invaders on horseback came, they could not go into the city. And so the idea is that it would be so difficult for a camel to get through that little gateway called the eye of the needle that it was almost impossible. And the concept of the rich man is, I've got all my stuff, and if I have to go through the needle, I could turn sideways, that won't be enough. I have to lay all my stuff down, my goods, my reputation, then I can go through. And the concept is, for many, it would be hard to give that up. Then we continue in verse 26. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Isn't it great when you look at your bulletin at the front cover that you see our state motto? I love that. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Gospel of the Lord. Seated. In today's gospel reading, Jesus meets a person who's desperately seeking him out. It says in the first verse that he comes running up to Jesus and then kneels before him. So he was intent on finding the pathway to God, to finding what eternal life might mean. One of the things that's fascinating about what Jesus is talking about, when you hear this, he is not an advocate who will say, well, many different pathways lead to the same place, the kingdom of heaven. He is saying here and elsewhere, there's one pathway. And in our culture that tends to value diversity, that all truth is as valid as any other truth, that can be difficult to say. And so it's important to us that Jesus is saying, here's the way, and in other places, here's how you live, here's how you come into relationship with Father God. And sometimes that can be befuddling a little bit. How do I find out where my place is? How do I have peace with God? At my first church in North Star, Ohio, which was right on the border, near the border of Indiana, a little bit above I-70. And we had just settled in about 2 weeks. At that point, we had two children and a very judgmental type man came calling. He had a round-brimmed black hat, black suit. I would have guessed he might have been an undertaker, but he was actually a Baptist minister from down the street. And so I invited him in, and he said, I didn't come to drink coffee. Brother, are you born again? And I was not as polite then as I might have been. And I expressed to him, how dare you? I have a call to this church. I have 8 years of school. Besides, I was baptized as a child in Denmark. How could you call that into question? And he said, brother, if you don't receive Jesus into your heart, you're going to hell. And I shut the door on him and said to Tammy, what an idiot. Now, if he had come, invited us out to coffee to find out about who we were, I'm sure I would have treated him very differently than the way that he did. But a part of what he did, it was the beginning of me starting to think, what does it mean to be a child of God? I had good credentials, but at one point I began to think maybe that wasn't enough. And another couple, Tom Rissmiller and his wife, after about 6 months in the church, invited us to their house for dinner, which we were always open for. And they began to tell us about their walk with the Lord, how they had changed from being Lutherans to being Christians, which really puzzled me, and said how they had Jesus was real in their life. They prayed. The Holy Spirit guided and strengthened them on a regular basis. Because they were respectful of who we were, I was able to receive their input more. Didn't agree with them, but was able to dialogue with them. And that was a part of my early journey coming to understand, what does it really mean to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? What does it really mean to have Jesus as Savior and Lord? And this rich young ruler in the story comes to Jesus seeking that answer. But he misunderstood God's law. In the Old Testament lesson, we heard Amos talking about seek justice, do the right thing. But Jesus is saying here that it's so much more than doing the right thing. It's being right with God rather than simply doing the right thing. The young man understood the basic law, what we would call the Ten Commandments, especially the ones that dealt with other people. Be honest. Don't steal. Respect your parents. He understood that, but Jesus was saying there was more. And the rich young man believed that he could keep God's law and build a balance sheet with God that would secure God's acceptance. Well, I'm doing the right things. That must be what I need. In one sense, he was seeking Jesus' affirmation for how he was already living. And as the story continues in Mark 10, he ultimately rejects Jesus for three important reasons. Because of unbelief, he wasn't willing to entrust his life to Jesus. There was a lack of belief that Jesus was really God. He called him a good teacher, but Jesus was beginning to point to the fact that he was more than a teacher as he was slowly heading toward Jerusalem. Secondly, the man rejected Jesus because of self-righteousness, that he believed that because he did good, he must be good. Could I refer to you, Ray, just a little bit?
Sure.
I already am, but here's the example, and Ray's a really good example of it. Ray does all kinds of things around the church, sees to the fact that things are as they should be. The facility is maintained. Ray is not a child of God because he does good things around the church. He's a child of God because of Jesus in his heart. And because Jesus is in his heart, he is motivated to want to do good things. It's entirely different. And so this young man felt like, because I do good stuff, because people see me caring for the poor, being respectful to my parents, that I must be good in God's eyes. And Jesus was saying to him, contraire, mon petit. It's not quite the way that you think. And then thirdly, this man had a love of the world. He was proud of his stuff. I'm thinking, if I invited you into my house, the first thing I'd want you to see is my great bike. It's my way of exercise in season. Love the bike. But Jesus is saying to this man, don't be so attached to your stuff that you neglect what Father God really cares about, which is your heart. Not what you can do, not what you have, but who you are. And there are others in the Bible that are like the rich young man who struggled with receiving Jesus as fully God. That was a part of my struggle with the old Baptist minister and the Rissmillers. There's Judas Iscariot, who kissed the face of heaven, but ended up apparently in hell. There was in the book of Acts in chapter 24, Governor Felix, he looked into salvation, looked into Jesus' eyes, and he decided he wanted to wait for a more convenient time. This wasn't a good time to say yes. Then there's Herod Agrippa, who stepped up to the door of heaven and turned away in Acts 26. There's Governor Festus, not Matt Dillon's friend, but from the Roman Empire. He heard the claims of the gospel, and he said it was the ravings of a madman. He heard it, but he totally turned his back on it. And so there are many people. There are people that have come to Advent, that will come to Advent, who will hear the gospel. And some will say, that message is changing my life. I am not the same because I've heard who Jesus is. And then there are others who will hear it and think to themselves, I'm not a bad person. I do good. I don't beat my wife that much. I give to charity. I'm a good employer. I'm a good employee. And they get that close, but they miss the reality of who Jesus is. I was stunned the first time I was going door to door at a former church, and a team of three represented the gospel of Jesus, and a lady who was the owner of their home heard everything we said. She said, I really like what you say, really makes sense to me. And I asked the question, would you like to receive Jesus into your heart? And she rejected it. She said, not right now. I'm kind of busy with family stuff and work. Maybe later. And she drifted into the mist. There's a time to say yes. It happens all around us. People hear the gospel, but don't always say yes. Some do. Some, like you, have had their lives changed. And here's what's important. In a time when it is culturally advisable not to make waves, but to accept everything, it's important that Advent doesn't diminish what we believe for the sake of maybe not offending someone else. There are times that ministries separate over what the gospel says versus what it doesn't say. And it's important that as a ministry, you say clearly, this is what we believe. When you come to communion in a little bit, you are saying, I believe that Jesus is what he said he was. And I dedicate my life to that. I receive his offer of his life and resurrection for me. That's powerful. And never diminish that. Never let go of that important declaration. And back to the rich man. Notice a few things. He had privilege, position, and prestige. He was highly respected in the community. He was the type of person that when you saw him, you saw a good man. You saw someone that his parents would have been proud of. He came to Jesus because he found that his youth, his money, his morality wasn't enough for him to find peace with God and acceptance of who he was. That man got a lot of things right, but he missed some things. He believed that salvation could be earned because I live a good life. He believed that salvation was a reward for living a good life. And many people today believe that salvation, in the Christian sense, is based on due. They believe that if they do enough, they'll be saved. I have heard many times over the decades, people in my church say, when I ask the question, are you at peace with God? Well, I hope I've done enough. And the reality is, you can never do enough. That's what Jesus was saying to this young man. You can never do enough. To do is a false religion. The religion that Jesus came to reveal was the religion of done. For us, it's already been accomplished by him. Our responsibility is to receive it, to say, yes, I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins and that I am right with God because of it. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast. Salvation is received when we accept what Jesus has done. I want to close by reading something that I read just this morning from Charles Finney. It was from his own writings in his journal from October 10th, 1821. At an early hour, I started for the office, but just before I arrived at the office, something seemed to confront me with questions like this. Did you not promise to give your heart to God? And what are you trying to do? Are you endeavoring to work out a righteousness of your own? Just at that point, the whole question of God's salvation opened up to my mind in a manner most marvelous to me. I saw then as clearly as I ever had in my life the reality and fullness of the atonement of Christ. I saw that his work was a finished work, that instead of having or needing any righteousness of my own to recommend me to God, I had to submit myself to the righteousness of God through Christ. It was full and complete, and all that was necessary on my part was to give up my sins and accept Christ. Salvation, it seemed to me, instead of being a thing to be wrought out by one's own works, was a thing to be found entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ, who presented himself before me as my God and Savior. Now, Finney was really the person who was the lead in the Second Great Awakening. He was an attorney who turned from convicting the guilty to declaring freedom to sinners, a powerful man of God. He learned it's not what I do, it's what's been done. And as we continue our service, I pray that really can become a focus for you, that there's not pressure. You can never do enough to earn God's favor, his salvation. You can only receive it because it's already been done. As we continue, let's stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayers of the people on page 6 in our bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, for our presiding Bishop Curry, for our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, for the mission of this church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the homeless, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all those who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. And we especially lift up those on our prayer list. We pray for health and recovery for Lillian, for Mary Lou, Bob, Irv and Barb, Julie, Bill and Judy, Joan, Karen and Lois, Michael, Art, Marilyn, Velta and Bob, Rose, Dave, George, for Tony, for Sylvia and Bishop Little, for Betty Clark, for Rebecca, and for the Eliza Jennings residents. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for this congregation, for those who are present, and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And Lord, we lift up, especially this morning, for your protection on Brett Kavanaugh and his family. I lift them up because of the witches that have planned a service on October 20th to lay hexes on him. Lord, we pray for your protection on this servant and his family. Keep Satan's angels away from him. We cast out in Jesus' name the hexes that these witches will place on him. Lord God, we also give you thanks and praise for the release of Pastor Brunson from 2 years of captivity in Turkey. Paul read this morning in the gospel that we should pray for those persecuted. Here's a man who lived in Turkey for 22, 23 years as a missionary and then imprisoned for 2 years because of his Christian faith. Lord, we also lift up to you the victims of Hurricane Michael, all those whose lives have been lost, whose property has been lost, for many whose hope has been lost. We pray for your grace to abound in that place. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
Finally, join together with me in this last prayer. Holy Spirit, you delight in offering to me and all whom you call the gifts of both knowing and serving the Father, for whose kingdom we pray to come, whose will to be done. Raise up from among your people a priest and pastor to minister the compassion and love of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading us to grow in members and holiness of life. For the transforming of my life, along with the life of my family, Advent Episcopal Church, and that of the whole world, through the same Christ our Lord, I pray.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and neighbor. Please join with me.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also,
what you're doing, let's do it. Get up and share the peace of the Lord with one another. Good morning. So first of all, a word of explanation. Dar Curry is off today because she's a part of a retreat at her school, Our Lady of the Elms in Akron. So she's taking one day off to be with her students and some other leaders at that school. So just a temporary respite for her. Let me also, my shadow.
Go for it, shadow.
Next Sunday, we're starting a Bible study by Dr. Stephen Meyer. It's actually a DVD we're going to listen to. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see it on the bottom, Does God Exist? I've heard this before. It's a very good study. Secondly, we're about a third of the way through for our snowblower. So if you haven't made a contribution and you want to, please do. Thank you.
Only the shadow knows, right? So next Sunday, we'll start Gift. Goliath Must Fall. I've seen the DVD. It's a powerful message. It's... The thing that spoke to me about it is I've got all these giants in my life. Some of them are listed here in the bulletin, rejection and addictions. Well, that's not, maybe not, but rejection, fear, addiction, some of these other giants in our lives. And I've always tried to deal with those giants myself, right? Well, the power in this message from Louis Giglio is that Jesus Christ is the one who helps us deal with those and handle those giants, not what we do. It's kind of like not what we do, but what's been done. Did I hear that this morning? So please join us in that session. It'll run an hour, no lunch, 11:30 to 12:30. We'll have a time marshal to make sure we get out on time, but please make it a priority to come and join. You're standing there because you have another announcement, I'll bet. No? Oh, okay.
Peter.
Oh, Peter. Right, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Gentlemen of Advent, it is time to gather again tomorrow night at 6:30 at Huron's Schaefer Restaurant in Rocky River. For those of that have not been there before or have forgotten where it is, it's on Lake Road, east of Wager and west of Linda, on the south side of the street. Great place to go. We meet at 6:30. Bring your friends, bring your relatives, bring anybody you'd like to bring with you. And we'll have good food and good conversation and a good time.
Thank you, Pete.
That's it.
So let me elaborate a little bit on the prayer that I raised up this morning for this witch's brew that's going on. This is real, guys. This coven in New York have decided that on October 20th, they're going to lay hexes on Brett Kavanaugh. They've already previously laid hexes on President Trump. I don't know how much you believe, how strong you believe in the realities of spiritual warfare, But from personal experience, this is real. And if you want to know more about it, Google Kavanaugh and witches, and you'll find out more about what is planned. So please lift up for protection our leaders. We pray for them every Sunday, but this is special now with spiritual warfare being brought to bear on them. With that in mind, I will not be here next Sunday. Linda and I are going to the Diocese of Albany to join 180 other people in a conference that Bishop Love is organizing. The title is Transformed. It's an inner healing conference. We'll be praying for those traumatized, those recovering from trauma, those recovering from addictions. It'll be basically a healing prayer weekend, Friday night and all day Saturday. It's the keynote speaker is Judith McNutt, who along with her husband, Father Francis McNutt, have been very active for more than 25 years in an organization called Christian Healing Ministries out of Jacksonville, Florida. We've followed very closely Judith and Francis and their work. They're strong believers in prayer for deliverance from evil spirits and for healing, inner healing. So this should be an awesome time, and quite coincidentally, we'll be praying for deliverance on that same Saturday when the witches will be praying. Finally, All Saints Day is coming up on November 4th. There are clipboards available. Please list on the clipboard the names of anybody who has passed in the last year that you would like to have remembered during our All Saints service. Peace be with you.
Let's take now and present our offerings to the Lord. continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he lifted it up and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after they'd supped and after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you, O Lord, these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let's pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ our Lord died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
See the body.
Let's join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you. You know, one day I went out with a rubber on, and I was fighting in the car. I was fighting in the car, opening it up from the car. How great is our God?
Trying to figure out how to get some heads up that way.
The rest of them, I don't